Celebration Church. How are we doing this morning? Hey, you guys, give it up for the band. I asked them to do that song today for a reason, and we're going to get to that here in a little bit. And if I have never met you, if you've never seen me before, today's your lucky day. No, I'm just playing. My name is Josh Turner. I am the student ministries pastor here on staff. And we are going to continue today in our Unstoppable series. And I know that Pastor Stovall wants to wish all of you guys a happy July 4th, like Pastor Big John Scott said. I probably don't need to call you Big John Scott anymore, but like Pastor John said, it doesn't seem right. He is down at our St. John's campus opening that up, which is awesome. So today here, we are going to continue in our Unstoppable series. The past couple of weeks, man, we've been looking at some things that make us unstoppable because we are followers of Jesus Christ. Because you are a follower of Jesus Christ, you are unstoppable. Not because of anything that's necessarily you, but because Christ is in you. It's because Christ is the sovereign God of the universe, you are unstoppable. We've looked at unstoppable courage, and Pastor David gave an awesome message on unstoppable conviction. And today we're going to take a little bit of a different twist, and we're going to look at something that's unstoppable in our lives. Not something that makes us unstoppable, but something that is unstoppable in our lives, that no matter how hard we try, we can't stop it. And we're going to look at unstoppable scars and how all of us have scars. If you're taking notes, a scar is a pain that leaves a mark on you in some way, shape, or form. A scar is a pain that leaves a mark on you in some way, shape, or form. I have a lot of scars. I have one up under my chin where I tried to do a Evel Knievel off of a dock and busted my chin on my dad's shoulder. I have one on the side of my eye from where I was a child and I fell and hit the corner of steps. I have one on my gigantic forehead where I fell and hit the corner of a TV. And so the thing that I learned through that is that I have a gigantic head as a child that made me topple into things. So apparently I would just be like into stuff. And I have one on the side of my cheek from where I got stabbed in a fight with a sword. Everybody's like, oh, it was a knife. No, it was a sword. But that's a story for another time. But those are physical scars. And those aren't the scars we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about the emotional scars that all of us have and how all of us have emotional scars. How that there is not one person in this room that you have not had something that has affected you and scarred you as a person. An emotional scar is anything that changes who you are. An emotional scar is anything that changes who you are. And the way I'm going to illustrate this is by my wife and I, we had a friend in college. Her name was Megan. It was my wife's roommate. Megan grew up next to a farm, and Megan absolutely loved all of the cows that were on that farm. She would wake up in the morning and go play with the cows and feed the cows. She would come home from school and play with the cows and feed the cows. Megan just loved these cows. She just enjoyed hanging out with them. And one day, Megan came home from school to do her normal thing, to go spend time with the cows, but all of the cows were gone. So Megan, this sweet little blonde girl, went to her mother and was like, Mom, where are all the cows? Megan found out that day where McDonald's got their meat from. Everybody, that's the uncomfortable laugh. But here's what that did. That was an emotional scar in Megan's life, because from that day on, Megan's been a vegetarian. It changed her. It shaped her. It changed her from who she was to who she is now. And every one of us in here has an emotional scar. Now, maybe you can't relate with a little girl's cows getting given away. Maybe that you're just like, that's weird, I don't understand that. But maybe you can relate with being verbally or physically or sexually abused. I was talking with one of the officers that works here, that volunteers here last week between services. One out of every three women is sexually abused. Just look at all the women in this room right now. One out of every eight men is sexually abused. Maybe your parents got a divorce at a young age, and for whatever reason, it wasn't your fault, but you have kept that on you. that you, for some reason, you have felt that your parents getting a divorce, that was you. And so that emotional scar caused you to act a different way than you acted before. Maybe one of your parents died at a young age, or a brother or sister. I know for our family, I have a special needs daughter that I know I always talk about in here, but for my 7-year-old son, his sister will be an emotional scar all of his life. That no matter how much we spend time with him and no matter how much we care for him and love him, he is always going to feel like we spent more time with his sister because we have to care for her to keep her alive. That's going to be an emotional scar in him. And maybe that's too much for you. Maybe you can't relate with something that's huge. You look at yourself, you look at your life and say, well, both my parents are still living. They're still married. I've really never had anything bad happen to me. Maybe you just didn't make the high school or the high school or middle school baseball team or football team or basketball team or band or chorus or whatever it was. Maybe that boy or that girl that you gave your affections to, that you pursued, didn't pursue you back. Maybe that job that you were qualified for, you didn't get. And so you have an emotional scar. And if that's not you, then you're somewhere in between. Because the fact is that all of us have emotional scars. All of us have had things happen to us in our lives that have shaped us and molded us into the person that we are. And here's the amazing thing is that Jesus knew this. Jesus knew that this life that we were coming into, this world that we were coming into was a broken, busted, and messed up world. So Jesus says this. If you have your Bibles, you can turn with me to John 16:33. Jesus says this. He says, I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows. Jesus is saying, look, you're going to have a lot of problems on this earth. We live in a fallen, broken, sinful world. And in this world, there are things that are going to happen that are going to hurt you, that are going to scar you, that are going to change you from the person that I created you to be into someone else. But I love the way that Jesus finishes that sentence, that scripture. He says, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Jesus is saying, listen, this is going to happen to you. He goes on in one place in scripture we'll get to in a little bit where he says, look, don't be surprised at it. This is going to happen. You're going to be scarred. You're going to have trials and you're going to have sorrows. But take heart because I've overcome it all. I'm bigger than that circumstance that kept you bound. I'm bigger than that scar that happened to you. I'm bigger than that person that said that to you. I'm bigger than all of that. And I can promise you something today. I was driving in here to work this morning, going over this message in my head. And thankfully, I've spent enough time with God that I know God's voice now when God speaks to me. And I cried in the first service, and luckily right now I have a little bit more control over my emotions, that God wants to do something in some of you today. That some of you, you've walked in here this 4th of July thinking that it was going to be another service that you came to with some guy in unusually tight pants preaching. See, y'all laugh because y'all already thought it, which is sad. And you thought you were going to come in here, but God is going to set some of you free today. Some of you have come in here carrying emotional scars that you have carried all your life from something that has happened to you, from something that someone has said to you, from some way that someone has acted, or something that you've done to yourself. Some of us have scars because we make horrible decisions that hurt not only others, but ourselves. And I can promise you this, is that Jesus wants to meet you in here today. He wants to take your scars, he wants to heal them, and he wants you to help you step into the man or woman that he created you to be. But what happens is our emotional scars keep us in bondage. They keep us condemned. Listen to me. Condemnation will keep you exactly where you are. When you are convicted by God and his Holy Spirit, it is going to turn you from where you are and point you to God. God wants to convict you, not to condemn you. And in this situation, he wants to convict you that you are not allowing him to heal you, because he wants to heal you. There is no one here that can do what God can do in your life. There is no one. The only person that can heal you, the only thing that can make you well, the only thing that can make you complete is the love of the Father that will come on you and change your heart about yourself. Some of us, that's what we need. We don't need to hear another sermon. We don't need another word. Most of us are educated beyond our own obedience. What you need is today for Jesus to come into you and change your heart. Jesus, that's his job. That's his business, is changing hearts, is healing hurts, is healing wounds. But I think that so many times as just the church in general, that we feel like that we have to come to Jesus all clean with all of our stuff in order and say, God, here I am. I don't drink anymore. I don't cuss. I don't have any more emotional scars. I feel like I'm all good. God, I'm ready. Use me. We don't have to do that, because the fact is none of us could get there even if we tried. We all have too much stuff in our lives. We have too much hard stuff and scars that have happened and too much junk in our lives. And so what God is telling us is, you don't have to be clean, perfect, and good to come to me. Come to me just the way that you are. I'm going to take your scars. I'm going to heal them. Those things that you can't overcome, I'm going to give you the strength to defeat them. That's what Jesus wants to do in your lives. And I'm telling you, I promise you this. I was driving in here this morning and I was praying for the service. I was praying that God would do something in your hearts today, because I can promise you there is nothing that comes out of me that is from me. It is from the Holy Spirit. And so if something resonates with you, I pray to God that you know it is from God and that he is trying to get through to you. He wants to heal you. He wants to make you well. He wants to take those emotional scars that have kept you bound and do away with them. Today is going to be your day. I can tell you, I can promise you that. And we know that Jesus wants to do this in our lives, because he says this in Matthew 11:28. He says, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Jesus doesn't want to see us weary. Jesus doesn't want to see us carry these heavy burdens that most of the times we heap on ourselves. And I'm just going to say this. I didn't say this in the first service. Sometimes as a church, not celebration, just when I say as a church as a whole, as the Christian community, we have a way of heaping stuff on others thinking that we're helping them. Like, we have a way of sometimes someone coming to us with a need and saying, well, you're just not believing enough, or you're just not trusting enough, or you're just not whatever it is enough. So now not only is a person going through a hard time and a struggle, but we've heaped another burden on that person for them to carry. That is not from God. I promise you, God wants to give you rest. He doesn't want to put another burden on you that you can't carry. Jesus, when Jesus comes into your life, when Jesus meets you where you are, he is going to take those burdens and he is going to lift them from you. That's what Jesus wants to do, because he loves you. Parents, how many times do you see your child struggle with something, or they're going through a hard time with something, and you as your parent, you're like, I want to help them. I want to help them through this. I want them to not struggle. I want them not to hurt. I want them to have to not carry this. I don't want them to feel this way. Why would God be any different? He is our loving Father. He wants to lighten your load. He wants to carry the burdens that maybe you have put on yourself for no other reason. Please, please, please do not let people condemn you. Please. Know that God wants to bring healing. Know that God wants to bring a relief. He doesn't want to say, well, you're struggling with that. Well, here, let me put this on you as well, because you're not good enough. That's not God. That will never be God. There is not one instance of the Bible of them showing that that is God. Jesus said, if you want to know the Father, you look at me. And every place that Jesus went with someone carrying a burden, with someone, a sickness, whatever it was, a burden, Jesus was the first to lift it from them. The woman caught in adultery, Jesus could have stopped her right there. And he could have condemned her. He could have talked about her emotional scars. He could have told her, well, you're like this probably because your dad didn't love you, and so you tried to find solace in men. Go on, guys, throw rocks. I'm a lefty. And he just threw it at her. But that wasn't Jesus. Jesus doesn't do that. And I don't know, listen, I don't know why I'm saying this. I did not say this in the first service. And so I don't know if there's someone in here, man, that you have been condemned or whatever from people in the name of God. There's a difference between condemnation and conviction. Conviction from God and Holy Spirit and a loving brother or sister in Christ is going to point you to God and not make you go lower. Amen? So that's, so what, you can clap, it's okay. So God wants to come in and heal you. Jesus wants to come in and lighten your load. But we have to remember, man, that we have a spiritual enemy and that you are made in the image of God. And I think if we could understand that when God made you, he made you in his image, his character, his love, his grace, his patience, his strength, his mercy, his kindness, his gentleness. You are made in that image. When God made you, you were made in his image. And because God took the time to make you with his hands, you have a plan and a purpose for your life. You are not a random accident. You are not here because your parents locked eyes from across a room one night with Barry White playing in the background. Like, you are here because the sovereign God of the universe decided that he wanted to make you. That should blow all of our minds. We should just all leave right now and be like, dang, that's it. I'm going. I mean, like, I don't need anything else. Just to know that you were chosen. You, specifically you. And don't think, well, the person may be beside me. You. And because of that, Satan wants to destroy you. Because he hates God. And because you are made in the image of God. And because God loves you, he wants to destroy you. And so what Satan wants to do is he wants to keep you bound in your emotional scars. He wants you to think that the things in your life you can't do anything about. The things that have hurt you and changed you from who you were to who you are, that, you know what, that's just how it is. And he does this by telling us three lies. The first lie that Satan tells us about our emotional scars is this. Emotional scars heal just like physical scars. Satan wants you to believe that if you give something enough time, it'll heal. You don't need to talk about that with anybody. Just give it time. Time heals all wounds. Who said that? Let's find them and hurt them. Like, but here, let me tell you how I know this isn't true. When I was 10 years old, there was a guy that lived at the end of my street. He was probably 13 or 14. I'm not quite sure. I just know there was an age difference. He could have been 30. I'm not quite positive. This guy picked on everybody. He was a few years younger than all of us, so he picked on us. He would beat us up. He would tease us. He would make fun of us. And so I decided one day it was time for somebody to teach him a lesson. And it was the guy with the giant head. And so I said, all right, I'm going to fight Steven. Go get him. And so we went a street over because I didn't want my parents to see me just work this dude. You know what I'm saying? I was replaying scenes of Rocky in my head. I was going to pull back and punch him with that one. It was going to be sweet. And so what happens is we go a street over. This is an emotional scar, and I can tell you how I know this is an emotional scar because I can remember every instance of it. I was facing this way. There was a street. We were at a blue two-story house on the corner. We were in the grass right at the rounded edge of the curb. There was a girl named Joanna and a girl named Lauren Edmonds standing right here with a couple other people. Steven was about 3 or 4 years older than me, so I had one game plan. That game plan was just to throw like a Widowmaker punch. You know what I'm saying? Just like where I had my back into it, just like, and just get him. Just one. I knew I had to get the first one in. So we're standing, we're toe-to-toe, and I was just like, here it is. And I just... dun, 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 dun. And I just caught him, and I felt my fist connect with his face, and I'm like, I got him. And I looked up, and to my fear and horror, Steven did this. Steven then jumped on me like a wild cat, and Steven punched me in the face, and apparently I also had large ears as a child, so he grabbed them, and he twisted them. Like, I just remember, like, oh my God, this is so painful. And he's like, just twisting my ears over and over. And so we get up, He's 14. He's just looking at me. I'm crying. I cuss at one of the girls standing beside me because she's like, "You're a wuss." And I'm like, "Yeah." And so I'm standing there. But here's how I know that that is Satan wants to trick you. My physical wounds have healed. My physical scars are healed. My ears still aren't red, thank God. I don't have bruises on my face, but I have the emotional scar of remembering everything about that day. And that day, I learned the most valuable lesson of my life, that I'm a lover and not a fighter. My wife's at home going, "Yeah, he is." No, I'm just playing up. But I, listen, in all seriousness, Satan wants you to believe that if you keep your emotional scars to yourself, they'll heal just like your physical ones. That's a lie. That is a lie. Sometimes emotional scars need to be talked about with somebody, which leads us to point two. People are crazy if they have emotional scars. Satan wants you to believe that if you need to talk to somebody about the things that have happened in your life, you're crazy. Only crazy people see therapists. Only crazy people see psychiatrists. Only crazy people go and meet with pastors. Listen, how many of you have heard this before? Your marriage, you don't need counseling. Just give it time. Only really bad marriages go to counseling. Hey, listen, you are not crazy if you talk to somebody. You're healthy. You are not crazy if you come to this altar at the end of this service and cry and weep asking Jesus to come in and heal your scars. You're healthy because he's the only one that can do it. You could sit in every counseling session all of your life, and they will be able to help you, and they will be able to direct you, and they will be able to make you closer and walk closer to God. But God and his son, Jesus Christ, are the only ones that can change your heart. Most of us don't need our circumstances changed. Most of us need our hearts changed. Because we have begun to believe something, or we have let someone tell us something about ourselves that has kept us in condemnation and kept us back from the person, the man or woman that God has called you to be. Don't believe the lie of the enemy, man. Can I tell you, I wish that we could understand how God sees each one of us. How you are his son or you are his daughter. Just like we don't like it when our children hurt. He wants more for you than you even know that you want for yourself. And sometimes the first step to that is getting healed. You are not crazy for going to someone and talking with them. We have an amazing pastoral care department here at this church. We have amazing wedding counselors, marriage counselors here at this church. The guy that runs our pastoral care department here, his nickname is the MOG because it stands for the man of God. Because he just has wisdom. He has knowledge. He is able to point people and take people to places that God is calling them for healing. What happens if we just keep it to ourselves? I have someone that I meet with every other week. I have issues. I need somebody to talk about it with. Would I rather think everybody that I have it all together or get what I need so that I can become the man that God is calling me to? Listen, please don't live in the condemnation that Satan is selling you about your emotional scars. Don't. You're not crazy if you need help. You're not crazy if you have issues. We all have issues. I was at the beach a couple of Fridays ago. I go out there by myself to read my Bible and stuff and check out chicks. I'm just playing. I was going out there really to read the Bible, and my family was at home, and this two-year-old little girl and her dad were beside me and their mom. I have a special needs two-year-old little girl. She can't walk. She can't do any of that stuff. She ran down the sand and jumped in her dad's arms. I just lost it. just on the beach, like, I mean, people must have been like, that guy is either drunk or crazy. Like, as I'm walking, because I'm just crying. Because I can't get that from my daughter that I want. So I have an emotional scar. Does that make me crazy? No. Should I talk about it with somebody that can help me, that's been through it, that's been there? Yeah. But the third lie that Satan tells us is this. And I think that us as the American church, not Celebration, but the American church, has bought into this so much. Everyone must act like they have it all together. Where did that come from? I mean, you, how are you doing today? I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you? My car won't start. My wife is leaving me and my dog just died, but I'm blessed and highly favored. How are you doing? Oh, I'm good. Blessed and highly favored. My kids hate me. I lost my job and my stocks are falling. Blessed and highly favored, brother. Why do we do that? What is the idea that we have to have it all together? Where did that come from? Where did a bunch of like Christians get together and say, all right, here's what we're going to do. We're going to fake it forever. That'll please God. Where did that come from? We all have issues. That's the truth. The one truth is this. Everybody gets scarred. Everybody. You may not have had cows given away. You may not have been physically, verbally, sexually abused. You may not have been dumped by that girlfriend. But I can guarantee you that you have some sort of physical or emotional scar in your life that has scarred you, that has changed you from who you were to who you are now. Most of the time, those scars keep us from being the man or woman that God has called us to. Because we believe the lies of Satan. We believe the lies of the enemy. And this is what Jesus said, or this is what it says in 1 Peter 4:12. Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you. Don't be surprised. We live in a broken and fallen and sinful and hurtful world. Bad things are going to happen. Bad things are going to happen to good people. Jesus is saying, don't be surprised. And it's not that they're just happening today, and it's not that just people with emotional scars are just today. Listen to this. Joseph in the Bible was abused. Moses stuttered. Gideon was poor. Rahab was immoral. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. Thomas had lots of doubts. Samson was insecure. Zacchaeus was mean and unpopular. Martha struggled to make good decisions. God, and can I tell you something? God knew all about their emotional scars. He knew all of them. And I can promise you this, just like God knew their emotional scars, he knows your emotional scars. It says this in Hebrews 4:13. Nothing in all creation can hide from him. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. God sees everything. The only people that we try to fool when we come in and act like we have it all together is ourselves. We're the only people we're fooling. Whereas God can bring us healing, when God can bring us health, we're just trying to act like we have it all together so the people sitting beside us think that we're normal. Listen, if you don't have issues in your life, you're not normal. Because all of us do. And the amazing thing is that God is the one that wants to heal you. God is the one that wants to come in and take those emotional scars and say, those aren't from me. Those are from the enemy, and they are going to be used to keep you from being the man or woman that I created you to be. All of you have a purpose and a plan for your life. Satan wants to do nothing more than to keep you from there. He wants to keep you bound. He wants to keep you condemned so that you never step in to who you were created to be. And for so many of us, man, we have had things in our lives that have been beyond our own control. We have had things that happen to us that have changed us for the bad. And the entire time, we think that God is just sitting back in a chair looking down on us saying, stinks to be you. where would we ever get that picture of him if we looked at Jesus? Why wouldn't we see God as the loving Father who is sitting waiting like this for us? Come on. Come on. That's who he is. He's not the disconnected God that so many of us have been taught or so many of us have this idea that he is. He is this God that loved you enough to give his son so that by his stripes you would be healed. And if that means physically, spiritually, it also means emotionally. God does not want you carrying your burdens. God does not want you walking the rest of your life with your scars, condemning yourself for something you had maybe nothing to do with. And if you did cause it, let me tell you something. He still wants to heal you. It's not like we do something bad and God's like, that's one strike. Two more and you're out of here. You can't run from God's love. There is nothing that you can do except deny what his son Jesus Christ did on the cross. That's the only unforgivable sin. Everything else, every other thing that's happened to you, you can't run from him. Like that song said, God loved you first. Before you ever knew of him, before you were ever created, God loved you and he called you. But what happens is our emotional scars keep us in bondage. They keep us down. They keep us from being the men or women that God has called you to be. And I can promise you that today, God wants some of you to leave different. He doesn't want you to walk out those doors in the back carrying the same emotional scars and baggage that you walked in here with. He is the only one. I don't care how many counselors, how many episodes of Dr. Phil you watch, anything like that. God is the one that can change your heart. God is the one that can heal your scars. I asked the band to play that song today, Dare You to Move, because that's my challenge to you. I dare you to move. I dare you. For some of you, man, you have walked through your life carrying these emotional scars, afraid of coming to God. Today, I dare you to come to this altar and get healed. I dare you to come to this altar and get free, because here's what's going to happen. God's going to get you free, and he's going to say, this is what I want you to do. This is what I've made you for. Because when you get free and when you start hearing God and when you stop condemning yourself and you see and you hear from the voice of, you hear from the heart of God what he made you for, now you're responsible to go and do it. I had the opportunity last night to hang out with a musician. He's played in pretty much every continent. He was the drummer for a band called Under Oath. His name's Aaron Gillespie, and Aaron, I got to meet him. He's sold millions and millions and millions of records. And we were standing outside talking, and he told me, he's like, man, God put something on my heart, and I kind of ran from it for a little bit. He's like, but then when I stepped into it, I would do anything to always feel like this. He's like, because I know that I'm doing what I was created to do. I dare you to move. I dare you to get free today. Redemption is right where you fell for so many of you. God has forgiven you. God is going to heal you. Man, you have just got to give him the opportunity. Amen? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to pray, and I want to do a couple of different prayers. For some of you, the way that your first step is accepting Jesus Christ. You can't get free through anything else but Jesus Christ. The Bible says that it was by his stripes that we were healed. And what that means is that God gave his son so that we could be healed. The beating, the crucifixion, all of that he took was for us. So that we could go through this life knowing that our heavenly Father can answer our prayers and do all of the things that he says he can do. And what so many of us need to do is we need to accept what his son did on the cross for us. And then there's the second group of you and me that we just have emotional scars. And we need to let them go. We need to lay them at the feet of Jesus. And we need to quit carrying them. I promise you, he wants to set you free. I promise you, he doesn't want you to carry this baggage or this hurt. So let's pray, and I'm going to do two prayers.
Thank you for joining us for this week's message. Our prayer is that it will help you to live a God-first life. For more information about Celebration Church and other available resources, please visit our website at www.celebration.org.